Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Daniel chapter 4. This morning, I want to preach about, this book is about living the faithful, victorious life in a pagan world. And that's what the message is about this morning. It's been actually that same theme for four Sundays running now. We've already preached on Daniel twice, and Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. This morning, I'm going to preach on Nebuchadnezzar. And trust it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll help you, and it'll deal with a sin that we are all guilty of from time to time. And if we're not careful, it's infected more churches and corrupted more Christians. It is the mother of all sins, and it's the sin of pride. Nebuchadnezzar got a hold of that, and he felt he had reason to be proud. We're going to kind of get to that in the message this morning, and I trust and I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take the Bible and just ring it true in our lives. Stand with me, please. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That sounds like a saved man. And I think he did get born again. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I look forward to heaven, being able to meet Nebuchadnezzar there one day, a pagan king saved out of the sin of idolatry and self-love. And Lord Jesus, if there's someone here this morning that isn't born again, isn't saved, Lord, maybe watching live stream, would you please help them to hear the gospel today? Please help them to get saved this very day, and we'll give you thanks for it, and you'll get all the glory for it. You're the one that saves the soul. Jesus, we ask that you'd feed the saint and the sinner alike here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You go ahead and be seated. How was your week this last week? I just want you to evaluate a little bit in your life. Just kind of answer a couple of simple questions here before I start. Good week or a bad week? Blessing on blessing or trial on trial? As you think back over the week, you lay down that alongside of what the events that took place alongside and right next to this question. All that you did this last week, was God on your side? Or were you on God's side? Or did he have to work against you? Nebuchadnezzar found this in his life, where although a pagan king, surrounded by some good wise men, specifically Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? He was lifted up with pride. And of course, God uses this pride to bring Nebuchadnezzar to him. Pride, like I already said, is the mother of all sins. If I heard this phrase once, talking about Father's Day, when I was growing up, I heard it 1,000 times. Chip, you're getting a little bit too big for your own britches. I heard that again and again. Probably second only to, I'm going to tan your fanny. I laid that alongside. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about in this generation, right? I'm telling you, if I heard that once, I heard that maybe 2,000 times, maybe 10,000 times. And I laid that down. I know that's not politically correct, and I know that doesn't sound real fancy and educated, but I laid that down alongside Nebuchadnezzar's life, and he did get too big for his own britches. And he did get his fanny tanned. God got a hold of him. And it was all because of pride. Okay, let's look at Nebuchadnezzar again. Allow me to read the first three verses again. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto the people, nations, and languages. This is Nebuchadnezzar testifying. He's testifying. This is in his rearview mirror. He says in the first three verses, I want everybody to know how big God is. Talking about Daniel's God, who is now his God. Up till this point, he's a polytheist. He believes in many gods. The Nebuchadnezzar that we read of in the book of Daniel, before he comes to the Lord God Jehovah, he's superstitious. There's all kinds of pagan temples in Babylon. There's all kinds of golden images in Babylon. I'll worship another god. We'll make another altar. Another god. We'll make another altar. We don't want to offend any gods. He was a polytheist. He believed in many gods until he met Daniel's God. And that's what he's saying, verses 1 through 3. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony to the goodness of God, to the power of God, and to the sovereignty of God. Man, what a wonderful God we worship. In spite of all that I do in my life, right or wrong, there is a God in heaven that is sovereign. And he's watching over the affairs of men, gives us a free will, and I can choose to do right or I can choose to do wrong. And then he'll deal with me accordingly because I'm born again, because I'm his child. I love preaching the great doctrines of the Word of God. Sovereignty of God is one of those great doctrines. It really is. He is in control. And also the whosoever will, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a choice and he gave him opportunity to repent. That's the mercy of God. Let's read on. Number one, don't get too big for your own britches. Nobody makes it without God. You got to know that. I have made it this far by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And maybe you aren't as far along as Nebuchadnezzar was, but you think you're a self-made man, self-made woman. Maybe you look at all the possessions that you have and say, you know what? I've almost arrived. I've almost got everything that I want. You be careful with that pride. That middle letter is I. That was the sin of Lucifer. Isaiah in chapter 14, he was lifted up with pride and ambition. It was all about worship and getting things. That's what it was about. You be careful you don't fall into that sin yourself. Very important. I'm going to read a bunch of verses. I'm going to skip some of them because of a lack of time. And the story kind of repeats itself a couple of times. God mercifully warns Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's already seen the hand of God in Daniel. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's already seen the hand of God, but it doesn't take him long, and he forgets. And God, in his mercy, sends an angel, and Nebuchadnezzar has a vision, and he doesn't know what it means. And that's when Daniel comes back into the picture and gives him the interpretation. But let me read just some of it. Verse 5. Verse 4 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's going right, straight and true, right down the middle of the lane. You be careful when that happens. You start depending on yourself, and you're going to get yourself in trouble. And God sends Nebuchadnezzar, in his mercy, he sends Nebuchadnezzar a vision. God doesn't work with visions today, but God is still merciful. And his mercy, he has you at Fundamental Baptist Church this morning hearing this message. And it might be that it's a warning for you. He says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He woke up in fear. You see, prosperity is not enough. This guy was prosperous. I'll tell you a little bit about Babylon here in just a moment. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, all those involved in the occult. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the dream, the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. That's a clumsy attempt by an unsaved man to describe Daniel. Daniel has the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, helping him and in him. And this is a clumsy attempt. That's why I use the word gods, little g. And before him, I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Allow me to read real fast. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. It's a magnificent tree. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And it was meat for all, and the beasts of the field had shadow under it. And the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed in it. He's talking about the Babylonian Empire, the breadth of it, the height of it, the abundant fruit, taking care of all kinds of people. These were good days, good days. He'd already acknowledged that. Verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. That's an angel. A watcher and an holy one come down from heaven. Daniel shows us in a real way how there's a spiritual war that's raging on all around us, and we're not aware of it. We don't understand all that's going on. The angel, verse 14, he cried aloud and said, thus hew down the tree and cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass marked and protected by God in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now, what's going to happen is Nebuchadnezzar is being warned of God. You don't change your ways. I'm going to turn you into a beast. I'm going to turn you into a cow. I mean, not physically, but you're going to act like a cow. You're going to eat grass. You're going to live in the open. People are going to mock you. Your hair is going to grow. Your nails are going to grow. You're going to go mad, Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 17 says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, angels that are involved, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Again, God is sovereign. I read a lot, and I'm going to read a few more, and I'm going to really get to the heart of the message. And don't worry, I don't have a lot of message after I'm done reading, but it's very, very powerful, very, very important. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 18, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, see, tell me. What's it mean? What do you think? Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished. He was afraid because he knew what the dream meant. And he knew how cruel Nebuchadnezzar was. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And it might also be that he wasn't afraid as much as Belshazzar was his friend, or Nebuchadnezzar was his friend. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. He said, it'd be better off if this dream was for your enemies. Verse 20, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It's thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is upon the Lord, my Lord the king. This is it. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Remember that word seven, that number seven? Heat the furnace seven times hotter than it's ever been. It's coming back on Nebuchadnezzar. 7 years. With what judgment ye judge, it shall be meted to you. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known the heavens do rule. When you finally come to your place, come to your mind, where you humble yourself and understand there's one God and it's not you, God will bring you back. Now verse 27, Daniel says, it doesn't have to be that way, Nebuchadnezzar. You could repent right now. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. The peace doesn't have to end. You just need a change of heart. You need to repent. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of attitude toward God that ends up changing our lifestyle. It's deep. It's rich. It's turning everything over to God. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, man, if you'll just repent, you don't have to go through these things. These things do not have to happen. Just 1 year later, I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar took it to heart. 12 months later, didn't take him long to forget. Unless we be too critical of Nebuchadnezzar, doesn't take us too long to forget. Man, we can hear some good preaching, read some good Bible in our own private Bible time, everything just kind of just ringing true, and then 12 hours later, man, it's like we forgot everything. Amen. We're so prone to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. Verse 28 says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon, mightiest city on earth, 2 million strong. City is filled with canals and boulevards and palaces and golden monuments and temples. The wall around the city is 87 feet thick. Get this, 300 feet tall. That's a football field turned on end. They used to have chariot races around the top of the wall of the city of Babylon. Mighty city. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Ever hear that term? One of the seven wonders of the world. Terrace after terrace. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, built that for one of his wives so she wouldn't get homesick for her home country. Just a rich city, a powerful city, a city that no question had great beauty. The question is, who gets the glory? Now here's Nebuchadnezzar, 12 months later, he's on the top, somewhere in a palace, rooftop. Verse 30 says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Obadiah 1:3, the pride of thine heart deceiveth thee. Pride is a terrible thing. Now let me preach at you and myself. Arrogance. Self-love, self-promotion, it's a terrible curse. And I'll let you in a little secret. If you have that arrogant spirit, you're just dumb enough you don't realize this. And I've been there. You don't know it, but everybody around you sees it. It oozes out of your body. The self-love, the self-promotion, the arrogance. You wouldn't say it this way, but it's even to the place where I can take care of myself. I don't need you, God. Don't leave me, but I don't need you. I'll handle this. And that kind of sin destroys the power of God, destroys the joy of God. It's corrupted more churches and more ministries. It's destroyed more New Testament Christians. Man, it's just not the way it's supposed to be. By the way, that is not New Testament Christianity. That is not it. Jesus, our Savior, our Master, left the glory of heaven, made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death. That is New Testament Christianity. It's Jesus first and others second. I'm last. It don't matter. I don't matter. That's mature New Testament Christianity. But if it's about, you might nod your head and say, amen, preacher, that's right. But if you're a self-promoter, if you're a self-lover, if it's always about promoting your own ideas and your own thing, man, you're wrong. I'm just telling you the best way I know how. I know it's not very eloquent this morning, but that is not New Testament Christianity. That's not the way a child of God is to live and to breathe. That's the way of a pagan king. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Man, a mighty city. I can't even hardly picture a wall 300 feet tall, 87 feet thick. We can't even get a wall on the Mexican border, and we're supposed to be a mighty nation. So here's Babylon, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, the nation of all nations, all kinds of provinces and languages and people groups, and mighty Nebuchadnezzar. He's over the top of them, and he thinks he did it. But what really happened is God allowed these things in his life, and God is going to bring him low to teach him a great lesson. He's already been warned. That was the mercy of God. 12 months later, look what I've done. Verse 31. And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make, you don't live in the palace anymore, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men that same hour, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. We know the commands of God and the principles of God and how we are supposed to be a humble people. And the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If there's a virtue, I want to just be all over my life. If I could boil it down to one virtue, it would be humility. Because the opposite is the farthest thing from God there is. But humility, that's a servant. That's willing to do anything, go anywhere, say anything God wants us to say. Willing to give up anything, humility. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. God mercifully warns Nebuchadnezzar. And then we see the smallness of man and Nebuchadnezzar's pride. The opposite of New Testament Christianity. Stealing God's glory. Hey, ask yourself this question. I'm almost done. Ask yourself this question this morning. What has God given you? He's put it on your plate. You're the steward of it. And you're using it for self-pleasure. Self-glory. You're using it to benefit yourself. He meant it for the ministry. Look what I've done. Look what I have. Two more points. One, they're both big. One is not bigger than the other, but one will kind of close this out. Look at verse 34, the bigness of God. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes. Now Nebuchadnezzar's speaking again, unto heaven. And my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. God is everything. I am nothing. He's giving the glory to God. He learned that God is God, and there's no vacancies in the Trinity. And God didn't need his advice. And God didn't need his help. He's learned this. Verse 34, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, why doest thou? He has the right perspective, the right priorities, and the right purpose. He understands he's not second to God. He understands he's not God's right-hand man. He understands that God doesn't need his advice, even though he's the king of Babylon. And at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Well, because he humbled himself, because he repented of himself, God made it like it was before and even better. Born again, humble, and in his right mind. If that was New Testament vernacular. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol or exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Last thing I want to say this morning is simply this. And by the way, my pride displeases God. My pride opposes the work of God. You say, God needs my pride. No, you're nuts. You're like Nebuchadnezzar. You're nuts. God doesn't need your wisdom. God doesn't need your opinion. My pride displeases God. My pride opposes the work of God. My pride makes me an enemy to God. You read that in the book of James. Even as a New Testament Christian. And that book is written to New Testament Christians. Where I end up siding on the wrong side of the battle of life. Pride is the mother of all sins. You name the sin and you can trace it back to a prideful idolatry. That's all it is. And if we're ever going to have a revival at Fundamental Baptist Church, if we're ever going to reach a church, be a church of 1,000 people, if we're ever going to have a revival in America, then the church house needs to be filled with humility, a humble people that are servants of God and not full of themselves. You see, this is my job. No, it's not. Your job is never to be full of yourself. Your job is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Look what it says, the last verse again. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. In light of eternity, my life is a blip. In the forever life, my time on this earth is just a moment. It's all it is. Understand this, those that have the pride of life. You may fight it. You may not want to think about it, but you're leaving this world. You say, well, I like to think about getting old. I know what's on TV this afternoon. I just want to, you may fight it all you want. You can push it to the side all you want and not think about it. Doesn't change it one iota. Everybody looking up here right now, you are leaving this world. If you're not born again, you're going to go to the devil's hell. If you are born again, you're going to God. And heaven's not your reward. We preached that not just recently, but we are going to be rewarded according to our faithfulness here in this earth. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the book of Revelation teaches. So it pays to serve God right now. If all your loves are in this world, you're leaving them behind. You're not going to hang on to them very long. Just when I started to like Nebuchadnezzar, the end of chapter 4, verse 37, he's never mentioned again. You know, so now old Neb's a brother in the Lord. He's gotten saved. He's born again, right? And I just start to like him. Man, now he's on our side. And he's never mentioned again. Our life is just a blip. We are here and we are gone. Do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you do know Christ as your Savior, man, are you living for him? All four messages so far to the book of Daniel. Really pretty simple. I need to protect my Bible time, my prayer closet, and my church attendance. And I'm going to wrap the activities of life around that.
Amen.
That it's not going to be the other way around. Oh, I can't come to church today because I'm going to wrap the activities of life around that so I can be in the place where God blesses me. It'd have been good if Nebuchadnezzar would have listened to Daniel and just kind of humbled himself and got right. But a year later, look what I've done. Look who I am. Look what I've accomplished. And the angel says, it's done. God wants to do great things in your life. But if you're full of pride, it ain't going to happen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.